What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the No Fire Podcast, episode 21. Excited to be here. Got some interesting stuff to talk about. We're going to dive right into the relationship corner. If you guys have never watched our podcast before, we're based in relationship topics. What to do in a relationship, relationship stories, everything relationship related. So let's go ahead and dive into it this week. We've got a couple questions, and I want to get your opinion on them. So, first one. We'll start off with something a little lighter. Do you think that TV affects people's expectations of a partner?
Yes.
And I think specifically, we've been watching the new Netflix series, Perfect Match, season 2 of it. And I just feel like what happens within that house and the way that people act and how they go about their relationships sets really bad expectations, especially for young people, of what a relationship is supposed to be like.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's I feel like the shows like that are very like toxic.
Yeah.
But I mean, people are toxic.
People are toxic, but I feel like the people that are on TV are exceptionally toxic.
Yes.
And then you have the editing that is making them either look better than they are or worse than they are, and, you know, making drama for a TV show. And I just think that sets horrible expectations for what reality is actually like.
Yeah.
And I think that the dating world has changed a lot in the last decade or so, especially with the presence of social media and reality TV shows and just everything, people doing things for attention online.
Yeah, the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And clout.
Yeah. It's all clout chasers. Clout mm-hmm. chasers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that the world is a different place from what it used to be, and dating has become much more difficult, and what your expectations in a relationship are probably different now from what they used to be, and TV doesn't help that.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Next on the list. This one's kind of a difficult one that maybe I feel like I struggle with is, how do you manage a successful relationship while facing burnout in any aspect of life, whether the burnout is within the relationship or whether it's with work and what you have going on outside of your relationship? How do you manage to keep your relationship successful and heading in the right direction when you're dealing with burnout?
I mean, I feel like that's like a good example of like a relationship isn't always going to be 50-50. Sometimes it's going to have to be 70-30, 80-20, whatever it is. If mm-hmm. you're struggling in a department and I can help you, like that's when I should be there to help you. I mean, to deal with burnout is like really hard. It just takes everything out of you. I mean, we're both guilty of that. We're both guilty yeah. of burnout in a lot of aspects, but I don't feel like we ever let it affect our relationship. You know what I mean? Like, we always try to communicate what frustrations we have, which definitely, you know, makes it less of a challenge, I guess, when.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's what you need in order to maintain stability in your relationship when you're facing burnout is
yeah.
the communication. Like, hey, this is what I'm going through right now. This is what's bothering me. Like, either ask for help, or your partner can know you well enough that like they're going to help you in those certain ways that are going to benefit you.
Yeah.
So I think it's almost maybe not so much what you can do when you're dealing with burnout. Obviously you can't take out your frustrations on your partner, but maybe what your partner can do for you while you're facing that burnout may lead to success in that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, if I am overwhelmed with my tasks and I, you know, that I have to go do 17 other things before I have to come home and do 19 other things, like, you always take the time to do something that's going to make my day easier, something, one less thing for me to have to think about. Yeah. And I feel like that really helps during burnout, because like, especially me with my ADHD brain, like I like break everything apart in my head before doing it, which makes it seem like such more of a task. And then like my lists are compiled with like lists inside of my list, because then I have to like break everything down inside of those things. Like, so it really helps to like calm my brain.
Yeah. I feel like I've been living in this perpetual state of not getting enough done for months and months and months now, because I have my hands in all these different things and I'm trying to do things to benefit us in the future. I'm trying to do things that are going to lead to a successful and happy life. But at the same time, it takes away from right now, living in the moment, because I'm so focused on the things that I could be doing that it takes away from any relaxation or anything that we may do to get away from doing work or doing something that's productive. And it just makes it not necessarily hard on the relationship, but it makes it hard to enjoy just being.
Yeah, it does. It's a lot.
Yeah. So you can't always be focused on the future. You do have to live in the now with your partner and experience things and be present and, you know, listen and understand them. And it's not always easy. You're not always going to do it correctly. But the most important thing is that you realize that and you put in the effort.
Yeah. Acknowledgement goes a long way.
It does. You just got to try. You got to try hard, because relationships aren't easy and they never will be. So you got to put in your effort.
You do.
And hopefully your effort is reciprocated, because that's definitely needed too.
Yeah.
All right. On to the next thing. This one's, I feel like, a little bit heavier of a topic.
Bum, bum, bum.
Not heavy that it, like, we're going to get like super emotional or anything, but something that I feel is important and something that I don't always think about is, in the aspect of a relationship, what are the difference between goals and values? Because I feel like they are different, and to me personally, I don't think that we have to have the same goals to be in a relationship.
Yeah.
But I think that our values need to be aligned to be in a relationship.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because if your values are too far apart, then, I don't know, I was going to say then you're not working towards the same goal, but that's not the sentiment that I'm trying to say. If your values differ, then maybe they're not the right partner for you.
Yeah. It's got to make it harder to
be cohesive and work together as a team, maybe.
Finding common ground for things.
Yeah. I was thinking about it in my head and I had like all these points to talk about. And now that I'm talking about it, I can't really put it into words.
Yeah.
But I would say that goals are things like, I want to get this podcast to a level where it's monetized.
Mm-hmm.
That might not be your goal. Your goal is to sit in that chair and be able to feel more comfortable and have a conversation more easily. Maybe that's your goal with the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my goal is just to get to know you better. There can be different goals, but as long as the value is doing something for the betterment of our future, I feel like that could be the value, is strengthening our relationship.
That's a fair statement.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Okay. So, with everything that I said, do you think that you can have different goals in a relationship and have it still be successful?
Well, yeah. I feel like we have different goals.
Yeah. What about values? Do you think you could have different values in a relationship and have it still be successful?
I'm not going to say it wouldn't be successful. I just feel like there'd be a lot more conflict and like things to like get through with each other. You know what I mean? If you don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, like.
Yeah.
I mean, unless one person is extremely passive in the relationship and they're just going to sweep their feelings under the rug, but I don't see how else that would, like...
That person's just never going to be truly happy.
Yeah, and that's sad.
Yeah, that is sad. Yeah. Well, I think that's the relationship corner. Thanks for tuning in to that portion of the podcast. And I want to thank everybody that's watching right now. I appreciate you guys. I see those numbers. And I see you. Thank you. We appreciate it. Hit that like button. Subscribe if you aren't already. On to the next thing. So I wrote down some interesting facts that we can talk about. I think these are pretty good. So let's get into it. We're going to call this portion of the podcast, Did You Know? Did you know that Australia is wider than the moon?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's insane to think about.
That is really insane to think about because, but you got to think about how far away the planet is that, like, we can't really see the size of the moon.
Well, when you look at something in the sky and you imagine it in space, you just imagine this massive thing.
Yeah.
At least I do.
I would love to go to space.
Because the sun, in aspect of how we see it, I would say doesn't look necessarily bigger or smaller than the moon, but the moon is just so much closer.
Yeah.
That the relativity of the size just, you know, we can't judge it. But Australia is wider than the moon. Pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Did you know that allodoxophilia is the fear of people's opinions?
Never heard of that in my life.
I have a little bit of that.
I know you do.
For sure.
I don't. I'm like...
Yeah, it's... I'm working on it. I'm working on it, all right?
I get more frustrated that I can't voice my opinion to someone the way that I want to. That's what enrages me. Like, when I'm in a scenario that somebody's, like, talking to me some way or giving me an opinion that's a false opinion and I can't correct it... It literally will make me cry because I'm so angry that I'm boiling inside.
Yeah.
That's the type of person I am. I'm sorry. I just got enraged thinking about it. Go ahead.
Did you know that the circulatory system is 60,000 miles long?
The circulatory system?
The circulatory system. 60,000 miles. You want to guess how long the circumference of the Earth is?
No.
25,000. It can wrap around Earth more than two times.
That's insane.
Almost 2.5 times. That's mind-boggling. Circulatory system. It just doesn't make sense that anything inside of your body is that long.
Yeah.
We should be giants.
It just wraps around over and 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 over.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of it's got to be like microscopic. Well, maybe it's all microscopic. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Did you know that the average cloud weighs over 1 million pounds?
How did they weigh a cloud?
I have no idea. Does it make sense? No. But do I believe it? Yes.
They look so like light and airy. What happened to condensation, precipitation, evaporation? What happened to that? They should just be like light.
Yeah, I mean, they're carrying all that water.
What is it?
Or they're made of water, I guess.
Condensation, precipitation, evaporation?
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's been a minute.
This one, really interesting. Did you know that platypuses sweat milk?
What? That is not real.
So you're telling me we get a platypus on a treadmill? And then we, you know, I don't know, get a milk carton and just start scooping it up.
No, that's disgusting. Number one,
milk for your cereal. Do you think it tastes like
platypus milk? Probably tastes like sweat.
I don't think so.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
What if it's like sweet and delicious?
No, they would be harvesting platypus milk by now.
Maybe they do. We don't know.
It would make me throw up. Oof. I don't know why that's so gross to me.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Ew.
Platypus milk. So I enjoyed doing the millennial moments the last time we did it.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about just memories from, you know, the past. So Paramount Plus, the streaming network, shows commercials.
Yes.
And that shit makes me go crazy.
I know it does.
Charge me more money and I will pay it to not watch the commercials. I did not sign up for a cable plan. I do not want to watch commercials. I am clicking on a show that I want to watch, and I want to watch it here and now. Times have changed. Streaming networks have changed the dynamic of watching television.
Yes.
So it had me thinking, kids these days will never know what it's like to watch cable television.
No. No, they won't.
They will never know what it's like to... run to the bathroom
on bathroom breaks,
commercial breaks.
Commercial breaks.
Yeah. They'll never know what it's like.
They have instant gratification.
And the thing is, they get to pick whatever show they wanted when we were growing up, yeah, you could look and see what was on TV, but you didn't get to pick what you wanted to watch. You had to watch what was on TV.
Meanwhile, our parents are probably listening to this. Well, I don't know whose parents are listening to this, but
nobody's parents are listening to this.
They're thinking like, we didn't have a TV growing up.
No, they had to be really old to not have a TV growing up.
True. They did have to be old, but, you know. It's just funny because it's like first world problems. We're complaining that we didn't have access to endless streaming.
Well, I mean, if somebody's watching this video, they clearly have had the privilege of living in a first world.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about memories. And obviously, Blockbuster was a huge childhood memory. Did you ever get blank VHS tapes and then film, like, a movie that was showing on TV?
My parents did.
Like, tape over something?
Yeah.
I remember specifically doing it for James and the Giant Peach. And what was great is you could fast forward through the commercial breaks and just watch the movie.
Yeah, that is nice.
Did you, when you went to Blockbuster and you got a VHS tape, did you rewind it before you returned it?
Yes.
Yeah.
My mom was big on that.
I don't remember ever doing that.
We were at Blockbuster like every Friday night with my stepdad. It was right down the street from us.
Yeah.
On, what is that road? Golf to Bay. Mm-hmm. It was on Golf to Bay and we lived off of Golf to Bay. So it was like a little tradition, but yeah, we always had to rewind it.
Maybe I just wasn't the one who rewinded it, and that's why I don't remember.
Yeah, your parents probably rewound it.
But I mean, Blockbuster was into the age of DVDs. I remember getting DVDs at Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I feel like that was towards the end. No, they came out with, I feel like they had Blu-rays too, at the very end of Blockbuster.
I don't remember, honestly.
I didn't have a Blu-ray player, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, same.
Did you ever have to print out directions, or did you guys own a GPS?
We never had a GPS, but that just like brought me back, you saying that, to we've driven from Jersey to Florida mm-hmm. with my mom. And I just remember her having all these pages of MapQuest just printed out. Literally, when we would go to Disney or Avon Park to visit my stepdad's family, like that, those paper instructions were specific. We never had like the big map.
Yeah, never the big map.
Always printed MapQuest instructions.
Same. Well, it was turn by turn instructions. Yeah. So you knew exactly where to go, like a GPS, but it was just all printed out.
Which is kind of convenient now. I mean, but now we have like rerouting and road work, and GPS is definitely a lot more efficient.
Well, that's the thing, like say you didn't have GPS on your phone anymore and it like wasn't available in your car and you had to print out directions and you took a wrong turn, like do you feel confident enough in your sense of direction that you could get back on track?
Absolutely not. I literally get lost driving around our neighborhood. Today, perfect example, side note, Treble Creek from like, what is that, Rowan, the light by the gas station?
Mm-hmm.
From Rowan all the way past Swallowtail, so all the way up, I had to go to Adax, which was like the street after, all blocked off. There was cones all the way. The right lane was blocked off, and then there was people standing at the end of the street, so you couldn't turn onto the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went two turns past where I normally turn, and then all of a sudden I get in the neighborhood, and I'm like, it says park like it states, but like I'm so turned around, I like couldn't figure out where the hell I was. I drove all the way through the neighborhood, all the way back up to the front of the neighborhood to get back to where we live in the back of the neighborhood, because I got turned around and I had to go on a side street. So yeah. No, I am not confident.
I'd have to just backtrack back to where
I couldn't. I'm so turned around, like unless it's like straight up and down. I got north and south down. That's all I really got for you. I mean, yeah, I can figure out east and west, but like
I could figure it out.
I got east and west too. I'm just saying, like northbound, southbound. If you're not on 19, I can't really tell you how to get anywhere.
Yeah.
That's it.
Do you remember drinking Sobe?
With like the lizard on the front?
Glass bottle, the mm-hmm. two lizards, yeah.
I have a like specific childhood memory with a glass bottle mm-hmm. that was like Sobe, but it was Mystic is I think the brand of it.
Okay.
Kind of want to Google it now, but my mom used to always drink one specific flavor, and I can't think of the flavor right now. If I text my sister, she would know it. Mm-hmm. But there were these glass bottles that were just like that, and it was like a fruit juice inside of it.
Yeah.
And the corner store always had them, and we'd always go to the corner store to go get them because that's always what she wanted. She wanted a Mystic. I think it was Mystic.
Yeah, I looked online. You can't get Sobe anywhere.
What kind of flavors does Sobe have?
They were all like weird, funky names, just like all these different flavors mixed together.
Was there a blue one?
Yeah, there was a blue
That's one. What sticks in my head is like a blue, like a Oasis blue looking mm-hmm. drink for the Sobe with the lizard on the front. That is the specific memory I have of that.
Yeah, I think they have one that's pink. They have one that's blue, maybe green.
You can't buy them anymore?
No, you can't buy them anymore. All right. So we can talk about nature versus nurture.
Mm.
We're watching the TV show called Evil, and they're having a little, not really debate. There's just an aspect of the show that deals with nature versus nurture, or whether somebody born at a fertility clinic is going to become a bad demonic child or not. So in the aspect of real life, what's your take on nature versus nurture?
I have mixed emotions on it, obviously. Like, so I feel like they both obviously play a role. Like, without going into too much detail, there are certain things about me that, like, you know, I'm like super crafty and I like to do things with my hands and I like to make things, and like I've just always thought that this was just, you know, it's a hobby that I like. But like mm-hmm. learning more about me and how I was raised and who I was raised with, to later find out other things, like kind of put everything together for me. So while I was raised by like, I feel like they're both relevant. I don't know how to really explain it without like putting all my stuff out. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, not really.
Okay.
You don't have to explain it. You just... So for those of you questioning it, nature is your DNA. Nurture is who has raised you.
Yeah.
So do you think you... What do you get from
your DNA? I feel like I've picked up characteristics from both, is what I'm trying to say. I feel like I... Both from nature and from nurture.
Like creativity is from both?
No, creativity was definitely more nature than I realized. Like, I didn't grow up with anybody who was crafty. Like, that wasn't a thing. So I never knew.
So you attribute that to being nature, though.
Yes. My craftiness, my wanting to have hands-on and all of that is definitely, I attribute that. But, like, me being the type of person that I am, like, I feel like my personality has been morphed a lot by how I was raised. So like how I was nurtured. Like my mom was very kind and she was very free spirited. And she was always like, independent women can do whatever they want. They can take over the world. And like, I hold on to that. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I think nature, like your DNA, is your cosmetic build, literally what your DNA is, what hair color you have, your eyes, your body build, your muscle tone, your genetics, your predisposition to like certain illnesses. I think that nurture is everything about how your brain works. I don't think nature has anything to do with that. Like how you're raised, the environment that you're raised in, the experiences that you go through, that's what shapes you as like a person, like mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, that's what I think.
Yeah.
Whether science backs that up or not, I don't know. But I don't think that your DNA dictates you being creative. I don't think your DNA dictates the type of job that you do or what you enjoy?
I don't think it dictates the job that you do. I just feel like...
Well, I'm saying if you were to do something that you enjoyed and you did that like as a job, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. If you picked a career path because you were good at something or because you enjoyed it, I don't think that you're... that that's nature. I think that that's the environment that you grew up in and what you were conditioned to like and what you enjoyed as a child and the person you became.
I think we just have different like upbringing, so it's like different to look at it like that, I guess.
Yeah, like say I was adopted, mm-hmm. and I didn't know my parents. I don't think that would change like who I am. It might change me physically, but I think I would be the exact same person. I think.
That's interesting for you to think
that way. I don't know because I am who I am, but
yeah,
I would think that if I endured the exact same life, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I think that they both contribute different things,
mm-hmm.
whether you believe they do or not. I do feel like nurture does have like a greater result or like a bigger impact, I guess, on a person.
Mm-hmm.
But some things you just, I don't know. Some things are inside of you, I guess. At least that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you still think that like nature contributes to who you are as a person in some aspects.
Yeah, even if it's minorly, I do think it does play a role.
Okay. We can agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys. Well, thanks for tuning into the 21st episode of the No Fire Podcast. You can watch us every Thursday on YouTube. You can listen to us on Spotify, or you can just go ahead and Google us, NO-FIRE Podcast, and we will pop up on there somewhere. Go ahead and check out the cooking episode that we uploaded last week, and we'll see you guys next time.